and welcome to Wild Mode Podcast. We're your host. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Susan.
Come hang out with us as we talk true crime, hauntings, aliens, cryptids, and everything paranormal, weird, or unexplained. I'm so excited to have you on for our Halloween special. So do you kind of want to tell us about your podcast and what you do and your background a little bit?
Yeah. So my podcast is What's Wrong With Them, a true crime diagnostic podcast. So I review true crime stuff, criminals, whatever. And then because I am a therapist, I then go through the psychology behind them and kind of look at what their possible diagnoses might be, right? The idea of like what's wrong with them. So, and then I go through and kind of see like, are they psychopaths or are these people like suffering from an actual mental illness? And it's been really fun. I'm only on season two and this season has all been kids. So that's really fun.
I love kids cases. That sounds so messed up when you say you love any true crime case, but I'm especially drawn to like killer kids.
It's been interesting because at first I was like, okay, I'm going to do like school shooters. I'm going to do like, I had this like idea in mind and then I've had so many people suggest things and I've had a few people who are like, hey, what about this like duo where one's the kid and one's an adult and whatever. So I've done a couple of those and I've done a couple recent cases. So it's been really interesting. The season was not what I thought it was going to be, but it's been really good.
Cool.
So can I ask you like just kind of a general question?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So correlation between head injuries and criminal activity, yeah. Violent criminal activity. Yes.
Yeah, so there is a pretty high percentage specifically of serial killers that do have head trauma. The main thing with that is that for me on the like psychological side, it's not always something that I can diagnose because sometimes it's a traumatic brain injury and that's a medical diagnosis, but TBIs look like mental illness. You can have delusions, you can have hallucinations, you can have depression, you can have all these different things that might be related back to the TBI. The other thing too is that there's lots of brain scans of psychopaths and sociopaths that show that the connections between certain areas in your brain are different in psychopaths versus people that are not psychopaths. So the TBI can impact that as well, and just in terms of like how things connect in your brain. And I worked inpatient for a long time, so like in locked facilities, and I worked with a lot of people that had TBIs. And the main way that you kind of figure that out, at least in that setting, is to provide medication. And if medication doesn't help, then it's not a psychological issue, it's not a mental health issue, it's a medical issue. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to treat. A lot of things that happen with TBIs can't be treated at all.
So we're going to we have you on because we're going to talk Slenderman.
Yes.
You're going to talk about the case, which I'm sure a lot of people know, but then you're going to talk about the possible diagnoses. Mm-hmm. And Susan and I are going to kind of give the background of Slenderman. And Susan told me before we hopped on here that she hadn't been on Creepypasta in, like, how long, Susan?
It's probably been 10 years since I've been on Creepypasta.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And I honestly had forgotten how much I like it.
Yeah, that was definitely, like, a high school thing, I feel like.
So, Susan, will you tell me what you found? Because I just found the basic background. Did you just find the basic background of the Slender Man, or did you find something more?
I really like the page that Creepypasta has up for Slenderman because they have it separated into several different categories. They actually have a little menu for it. They have the appearance, the origins, the creepypasta story, and then the behavior. And then they have historical references, and then they talk about the movie, and then they talk about the real life case that ultimately came from this. So basically they explain that the original, let me get his name.
It was
Eric, is it Knudsen?
Knudsen,
yeah.
So he wrote under the alias Victor Surge, mm-hmm. and the concept of Slender Man was his, and he basically submitted it for a Something Awful is the, I guess, the site. I'm not clear on that. Do you know what Something Awful is?
From what I got, it was a forum site. It was just a forum site, kind of like Creepypasta, but
that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But the call, the prompt, I guess, was for contributors to submit digitally altered photographs that would serve as the basis for new mythologies or stories. So he has these photographs that have this image added to them, and they're all photographs of children, usually in groups, like at a playground, or one of them, like maybe at a school.
Aren't they all real places?
I think the original photographs are real, and he just added the Slender Man.
But they're all like...
Yeah, the photograph itself is like everything else in the photograph is real, which makes it look like, you know, if you're looking at a ghost photograph, it's the same thing. Like, you're looking for something different. And the way he did it is, you know, it's kind of in the background. Like, you could skim over it when you first, if you were just looking at the picture, not knowing what you were looking for, you might miss him, which is what makes it so believable.
Yeah, I have the original body of text that went with the picture, if you want me to read it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And this, it says it was, the picture was of a Slender Man out of focus next to a tree, and then this text was underneath. One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken the day which 14 children vanished and for what is referred to as the Slender Man. Deformities cited as film defects by officials. Fire at library occurred 1 week later. Actual photograph confiscated as evidence. 1986, photographer Mary Thomas, missing since June 13th, 1986. So that was like the original text that went with it, which is a little like hard to understand for me.
I think maybe intentionally, because the idea is to create the mythos. And he had, and it wasn't, there were a couple of other pictures as well that had their own little captions, but it's all very similar. So initially there wasn't even a story to go with it. It was just these little captions with the digitally altered photographs, but very quickly, I want to say within a month, within the same year that was posted to the Something Awful site, the Slender Man stories started appearing on Creepypasta and other sites. So people picked up on it almost immediately and started writing their own stories. And it just, I mean, it just became a viral
phenomenon. I guess in 2011 is when he was actually given the name, like the official name, the Slender Man. But looking back, the original text that was underneath the picture said the Slender Man. So I don't know if maybe they just took it from that or if he already had a name and that was.
Well, 2011 seems right about like when Slender Man first started showing up.
Yeah.
So that feels like that probably was like the first naming. So they also have the behaviors of Slender Man, and essentially it just kind of talks about how it evolved from just being kind of a intimidating presence to something that either it's, of course, it's always targeting children, Because all creepy things do.
Because children are creepy.
Because children are creepy. And it kind of evolves from being just like this intimidating presence that's kind of like almost weirdly drawing them to him, to either basically telepathically communicating that they should commit violence, or that they, like, either against someone else or against themselves. So basically, you know, attacking someone else or committing suicide or hurting yourself are all kind of rolled up in the what Slender Man does. And the other thing is that it has this sort of underlying thing of the more afraid of him you are, the more he is likely to show up just to, like, get that fear response.
I think that's why he's so popular, is because he's not blood and gore. You know, he's psychological, and I'm personally drawn to psychological stuff as opposed to blood and gore. So I think that's why he's so popular. So I find it super interesting that the creator, with the pseudonym, what was it?
His pseudonym's Victor Surge. His real name is Eric Knudsen.
They interviewed him, I think, a few years after Slender Man got popular. It honestly might have been after the murders. And he said he was influenced by Stephen King, his short stories, H.P. Lovecraft, the imagings of William S. Burroughs, video games like Silent Hill and Resident Evil, Stephen King's short story, The Mist, and then The Rake. The Rake. R-A-K-E. It's like a cryptid type thing, I think.
Yeah, and supposedly there are some Slender Man stories where the Rake is actually a Slender Man sidekick.
Oh, interesting. And then he also said he took from the Mothman, which I just, like, I don't see that at all.
Okay, at some point he's just naming pop culture things that he wants to be associated with.
Yeah, but I thought that was interesting that he took this creature that he created is from all of these amazing, influential pieces of work and authors and stuff.
Definitely.
I didn't really find anything else other, just like stories and, because it seems like he did it as something that he didn't think would be very serious, and it took off way farther than he thought it would.
Well, and the other interesting thing that started happening was, first, the stories started getting posted that were just like typical fiction stories. They weren't really intended to be taken as literal firsthand accounts. But then people started reporting that they saw him.
No.
So he literally manifested this creature into existence. And people have reported having seen him, as though it's like Mothman or Bigfoot or anything else.
Don't put Slender Man in a category with my one true love.
I knew as soon as I said Bigfoot, I knew I should have picked a different cryptid, because Caroline's gonna get all personal about it.
It's personal to me.
I thought you were Mothman, because I love Mothman. I love that whole lore.
Mothman is amazing, but I personally do not know too much about Mothman. So we actually have the podcast The Moth Boys coming on to do a Halloween special too, to just talk Mothman.
Which is going to be exciting, because I don't know that much. I mean, I know a little bit, but it's a lot bigger of a story than the story I know.
Yeah, and I feel like at this point it's not just a cryptid fascination. I think it's like a pop culture thing. And people are...
Well, I mean, that's almost exactly what Slender Man is, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not really a cryptid. We know exactly who made him up. But it doesn't stop people from seeing him. And then the question is, like, can that happen? Like, can you actually just, like, enough people thinking about something, can you make it real?
That's getting to simulation. Can you manifest anything you want? I'm not going down that road.
Mass hysteria, which is a real thing,
yeah.
And people can collectively experience a delusion. So, yes, technically, yeah, a bunch of people can believe it and see it.
And I mean, typically that would happen in a small area, like in a a small town or even like within a family. But digital communities almost kind of spread out the possibility of that existing over a way bigger geographical area.
Now, do you know about the Mandela effect? Have you ever heard of that? Yeah. What's your take on that? Because it's kind of the same thing. People are remembering either there is a simulation glitch or people are just remembering things differently.
Yeah, that one I'm not sure too much. I mean, I know what it is. I haven't done any research on it myself, but I think that that's partially just like how memory works. Like our memory can be influenced really easily. Like we know that we can get false memories. We can coerce, you know, confessions, right? Mm-hmm. That's like implanting false memories. But I think like what you were saying about the fact that like the internet basically can make a small town worldwide basically for like mass hysteria. Do you guys remember the killer clown sightings?
We did an episode on that.
We talked about that. I'm fascinated by this.
Example of like something that happened everywhere, right? But actually only happened a very few times and was kind of like a mass hysteria situation. And I think fairly similar to the Slender Man situation where people claim to see this or experience it, but really it's only been witnessed very minimally, but it's spread online and then it creates this larger experience.
Fun fact though, the first incident of a like multiple, I don't want to say mass killer clown sighting because that's a weird, but like multiple incidents really close together. The first time that happened was actually in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
There's like a whole series of these little cluster things that keep happening over periods of time with no real indication of where they started. Because I went into that thinking that it was the same thing. It's an internet thing. Mm-hmm. One person hears about it, it starts springing up. Maybe a couple of people actually dress as clowns. But then I started going back into the history of it, and the first time it happened was in the 60s when you didn't have all of that connectivity.
Yeah, right.
And there were sightings, I think, in like 4 or 5 states, if I remember right, in that first one. I can't remember for sure. It's been a while. Actually, I think that was last Halloween.
I think that was one of our first episodes, yeah.
I think it was. But yeah, I mean, same concept. But it is interesting that those things have taken place also pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes you wonder, like, could Slender Man have happened pre-internet?
So we're going to get into the murder surrounding Slender Man, and I'm going to let Adair take over on that part.
Okay, so I think that the murders, I mean, at least in my world, was what made me aware of Slender Man. I did not know who he was before this, and I think this also may have, like, perpetuated the lore of him.
Mm-hmm.
But back in 2014, so actually not that long ago, 2 12-year-old girls, Anissa Weir and Morgan Geyser, got really into the Slender Man story, and they were just like, they were all about it. And they had this third friend, Peyton Lautner, not sure how to say her last name, but she wasn't super into it. But these two girls, Anissa and Morgan, basically were trying to get her involved, were like texting her all these things, sending her links, whatever. She just was not having it. And so that kind of brought Anissa and Morgan closer together, kind of excluding Peyton. And they got to a point where they fully believed in the lore. And this is where there's a potential for like a delusional disorder, that they wanted to live with Slender Man in his mansion, which was in Wisconsin, which is where they live. But the mansion supposedly was like in this national park that was like 5 hours north of them. And part of this, again, the lore or whatever story they had heard, Slender Man required a sacrifice in order to become one of his proxies to live with him in this mansion. So they start devising this plan, and they work on this plan for about 6 months. So this is premeditated murder, and they have a couple different ideas. They kind of like abandon those. They end up all going to Morgan's birthday party.
I have a quick question.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
I'm so sorry. Did Kate, no, Kate survive, though, didn't she?
She did.
Okay, I just was like, am I remembering wrong?
No, she survives. But I think that the charge, well, I guess the charge became premeditated attempted murder.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this whole thing was a very premeditated plan to kill their best friend, which is just, like, I think extra sad.
Yeah.
Especially because they're all 12 years old. Also take that into consideration that these are 12-year-old girls who are all best friends in a pretty small town. They were kind of like loners. They didn't really have many other friends except for each other. So they end up going to Morgan's birthday party. They go roller skating. They have a great day. And part of the plan was that that night when they were having a sleepover, Morgan and Anissa were going to murder Peyton in her sleep and then just leave and walk to Slenderman's mansion. Well, they don't murder her in her sleep. And the next day they ask the parents to go to the park. They go to the park. Then their plan B was to take her into the bathroom at the park because there's a drain in the bathroom. And they thought that it would be like easier to murder her there because there was a drain for the blood, okay? It's evidence of their premeditation. They actually do go into this bathroom, and Anissa tries to knock Peyton unconscious and, like, hits her head against the wall, but didn't do it very hard, and then they kind of just, like, move on with their day, and they decide to play hide-and-go-seek. But they're not going to be in the park. They start to walk towards the woods, like, on the outskirts of the park. They go into the woods, and Morgan is counting, and Anissa is walking Peyton, like, further and further into the woods, and tells her to lay down, covers her with leaves, and then Peyton hears Morgan and Anissa talking, whispering, and then Morgan's on top of Peyton, and Anissa becomes the one who says, like, do it. Kill her. And Peyton is stabbed 19 times all over her body. And yes, she does survive. So they go, they tell Peyton, like, oh, just stay here. We're going to go get help. But Peyton's not stupid. So as soon as they walk away, she starts crawling. And she gets to the road where a bicyclist just kind of, like, happens to be riding his bike there, calls 911. She's rushed to the hospital. Police go to all the various parents' houses. They don't really know what's going on. The police just tell Morgan and Anissa's parents that the kids are missing. About 5 hours later, they find the girls who have walked for 5 hours along the interstate. They went into a Walmart. They cleaned up their clothes, filled their water bottles, kept walking. They get brought in, and then they're questioned. They both confess, and in the interview is where Morgan really starts to display a lot of her mental health issues. And her dad has schizophrenia, and schizophrenia has a really high genetic predisposition to it. So while in the interview room, she's, like, really flat, like, she doesn't show a whole lot of emotion. She's answering really vaguely, and she's very tangential, like, she just isn't answering directly. And when the detective leaves, she goes and she's, like, looking underneath the table and, like, checking the corners and doing some weird stuff in the room and is, like, even eating, like, really slowly and just, like, doing just some kind of bizarre behaviors. They both end up taking plea deals that allow them to go to mental hospitals instead of prison. They're actually both tried as adults, which is wild to me because they are 12. But because of the severity of the crime, I guess in Wisconsin, like, that makes them eligible for that. So they both take plea deals. They both go to psychiatric hospitals. Morgan is diagnosed with schizophrenia, and a doctor actually testifies that she had been having hallucinations as early as 3 years old. And schizophrenia is very rare in children, and it's very different to diagnose, because obviously it's, like, very normal for kids to have imaginary friends and to, you know, have weird beliefs and stuff like that. So the parents didn't really, like, think much of what she was experiencing, because they were like, this is, like, normal childhood stuff, you know, for her to have imaginary friends and for her have these, like, strong beliefs and things, or talk to, you know, ghosts or whatever it was that she was seeing. But Anissa, on the other hand, I couldn't find that she was ever formally diagnosed with anything, but everything that I read and that I see in this is what is called shared delusional disorder, or Folie à Deux, like the Fall Out Boy album, same title, but it's a and it usually starts with the primary. So the primary is somebody who does have a primary mental illness. So that would be Morgan, who has a delusion, who has hallucinations. And then somebody else who maybe has a potential for mental illness or is more susceptible to that, then kind of gets wrapped in to that delusion with that other person. But when those people are then separated, the delusions start to go away in the secondary. So when arrested, when questioned, Anissa was really apologetic. She talked about how guilty she felt. She felt like she didn't have a choice in the matter, because at the time, like, part of their delusion was that if they didn't do this, Slenderman was going to kill their families. So she was like, I had to do it, but I didn't want to, all this stuff. And now Anissa was just released last week.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that Anissa was released. I honestly would like to see Morgan released.
How old is she now? So
she's 19. I looked at an article earlier because I was like, did she actually get released? And she did get released with ankle monitoring, internet monitoring. She has to continue in treatment. She's on, like, a really strict parole. But basically the argument was that she had been at this mental health facility and had, like, done everything that they could do, and she'd made really good progress, that she's being considered for release, and her sentence was up to 25 years. So mm-hmm. She doesn't have to serve out that time. And I think that Morgan's is up to 40.
Okay. Did they ever, and I know we probably can't know because they're still, well, they're not minors anymore, but was Morgan ever diagnosed officially?
Yeah. Morgan had a schizophrenia diagnosis and an oppositional defiant disorder diagnosis, mm-hmm. which I don't see a lot of evidence for outside of obviously, like, the murder, but the murder itself is more linked to the schizophrenia than I would say oppositional defiant, but those are her formal diagnoses.
So in your opinion, if she was released, do you think that she would do something again, something similar?
So that would really just depend on, like, what her treatment looked like. Yeah. If she is somebody that continued in therapy and continued to take medications and was properly treated, then probably not, because people with mental health issues are more often the victim of crime rather than the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. So the schizophrenia in itself, or even the delusions that they were experiencing, were very specific to this situation, that they don't necessarily have to be ongoing. That alone doesn't necessarily make them dangerous. And schizophrenia can be really well managed with medications. Her dad, like I said, has schizophrenia and has been very well managed and never been violent. So even within the family, they can kind of look at evidence for the fact that she could be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has there been any talk about Morgan possibly being released as well, or I haven't heard anything?
Not that I've seen, but I do think that she has to serve longer. And I think that's part of the, like, plea deal. And I know that she's also bounced around hospitals, so I don't know how well she's doing.
Wow.
And I know that Peyton... So I do want to back up just a little bit, because there was one little detail about the story that always interested me that I don't know much about and you didn't mention. Peyton was kind of part of, she didn't really get into the Slenderman fantasy, but she was kind of part of their little fantasy world, because they didn't call her Peyton. They called her Bella.
Yes.
And that was kind of a character almost. It seems like.
Yeah. So the only thing that I read, or like, honestly, I mostly listen to podcasts. So that's where I get a lot of my information. But what I heard about that one was more that that was like a nickname. That's how it was referred to. But they all kind of had these like character things, because part of this delusion was that Morgan was going to be an evil cat when she went to Slenderman's mansion. So actually, like, when she went to go stab Peyton, Anissa didn't say, "Morgan, kill her." She said, "Kitty," and called her Kitty Cat or Kitty. So they all kind of had these different nickname type things that were definitely part of this fantasy world and the delusions, but she herself wasn't necessarily, her being Peyton, Peyton wasn't necessarily like aware of the extent that Anissa right. and Morgan had gone to.
Yeah.
I thought I read something years ago that said Peyton was really good friends with one of them, and then the third girl kind of came in later on in their life, like later on in school. I want to say it was Peyton was really, go ahead.
I think it was Anissa that moved to that town later, and Morgan and Peyton had known each other for a long time. And then Anissa moved there in like fifth or sixth grade, and that's how they all kind of got linked up.
Yeah, I think Peyton and Morgan had been basically like, I mean, like pretty inseparable close friends since they were like, I want to think it was like seven or eight, like since they were little.
Mm-hmm. How tragic. I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that she survived. And there was just a bicyclist that happened to be right there. But it's pretty devastating. Has she talked about it at all?
I only heard about one interview where she kind of said, didn't want to talk to them, that she doesn't want any part of that, which I don't blame her for, but also that she would say thank you because she felt like she feels like she looks at life in a new way after this experience, and that she wouldn't be the person that she is without the experiences that she's had, kind of a feel to it. But that's all that I like heard on her. I think for the most part she just kind of wants to like live her life without.
I think that she changed her name and they moved order for her to be able to become somebody else instead of having to always be the girl the Slenderman girl stabbed.
Right.
Now, I don't know this because I'm thinking, like, are these, if Morgan gets released and then the other one was just released, can they change their names? Is that legal if you're a felon?
Probably not on parole.
Well, yeah, not on parole, but like,
at some point they're completely like off paper is the only way I know to say that.
Yeah.
Like people who've been on paper say it. The only way that, like, when you're completely done with everything and you're just like anyone else, except if you're a felon, you're always a felon, but that's a different conversation. Yeah. Then I don't know why they wouldn't have the right to change their names. But until that happens, which is a long way off, I don't think that they could.
Yeah, they'll be on probation for a very long time, or parole, or whatever they're released on. They'll be on that for a long time.
Yeah. It's just, it's one of the saddest cases, because there is not a single person involved in this that I don't feel bad for.
Yeah, they're babies.
And Morgan's mom absolutely breaks my heart, because she feels very much that it is her fault.
Her mom?
Morgan's mom.
Because she didn't limit what she was...
That she didn't notice some of the stuff earlier, or hadn't paid, like, the right attention to it. But like I said, so much of those experiences are very normal childhood experiences. It would be also weird the other way to be like, why are you talking to an imaginary friend? Like, what's going on with you? Like, that would be a reaction too.
At 12, is that still a pretty common thing to have an imaginary friend? I mean,
in a different way, but I mean, I think the girls having their little fantasy world that they all had different nicknames in, and they had different little personas.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty common at 12.
Yeah.
And also, Morgan knew that some of the things that she was experiencing were strange, and she hid it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that to say, like, oh, she was so devious. I just mean she knew that there was something wrong. And so she did what most kids do and tried to appear as though nothing was wrong. Yeah. So a lot of the things, I mean, her mom, it just breaks my heart that she feels responsible for it, because I think she was a good mom, and yeah. I don't think she did anything wrong. And I just hate that she, not only did she lose her child, she has to live the rest of her life feeling like she did something wrong. She feels like because Morgan's dad is schizophrenic, she should have been more aware. She feels like when she started reading creepypasta stories, that she should have been more concerned.
Just don't know.
But she also said, I was reading Stephen King novels when I was her age. That's what I was into. So I didn't think it was like that concerning.
I always hate when I love true crime, but every time we do a true crime case, it involves kids or anything like that. It just really, like, gets me down.
Yeah, this is a rough one for sure, especially because, like, I know I tagged you guys in it. Like, this release was very recent. Like, all the news about it was very recent, saying she's eligible, she's going to her parole hearings, and then it just happened last week, and that's, like, I don't know. I know I'm kind of going to be like, like, you were asking about changing the name. Like, I'm interested.
She's young.
She's 19. That's so young.
And when you watch, if you watch any of the footage from their court dates, it's in such stark contrast that they're little children.
Yeah.
They were both, honestly, a little immature for their age physically. They looked little. They still look very much like little girls.
Yeah.
And I think it is it Anissa that's particularly tiny?
I'm gonna look on Morgan.
I know one of them is like really petite.
I just know what she looks like now because of all those articles. I'm not sure what she looked like then.
One of them was even small. I mean, it's just like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The one with the glasses.
And they just, yeah. And I think that's Morgan. I think that's Morgan. They're just in these jumpsuits with them rolled up like a million times because they're just too tiny for them. It's just, the whole thing is just so sad to me.
Oh my gosh. I would love, you said this season of your podcast was kids. So did you cover Mary Bell?
No, I haven't. She's on my list, and one of the reasons that I'm like hesitant to do that one is because, one, a lot of people know the case already.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I think that there's a lot of research on her, and so for me to be like thorough in my investigation, my diagnosis, I have to look at a lot of stuff. So she is on my list. I've had it requested, but I have not done an episode on her. After this one, that I'm doing with you guys. I'm doing another Halloween episode, and then I have the last three of this season. And I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, so she might be part of that. We'll find out.
So yes, Mary Bell is a case I don't know, and I'm going to have to go read about this now because I don't recognize that.
I did like a 30-second clip on our TikTok, the podcast TikTok about her. I did that Killer Kids series.
I feel like I have seen that, but I can't.
It's super short.
So I'm going to have to go read about her because now I feel like this is something I should know and I don't know who she is.
It's been interesting, and there's a few where I'm like, I think they're just a psychopath, and there's a few that I'm like, this is drama, nature and nurture, and all this stuff. But it's definitely, like I said, it was this season has been different than I expected it to be, but I feel like I've learned a lot, so I hope it's interesting for people to listen to.
I'm excited to listen to that.
I want to hear your story, your scary story. Because you said you had one, or is it a ghost story?
Yeah, I have a ghost story. It's actually not a scary story. It's actually a very sweet story.
This honestly might be better after the Slenderman situation.
So first, I fully believe that there are other planes, whatever. I don't know if the ghost is like in the sheet or whatever, but I do believe in all of that, just to like preface. So I've had two-ish, and so the first one was I was pretty young. I was probably in like junior high or high school, and my mom was having a dinner at our house with a bunch of her friends, and I had like come down for whatever, I don't know. And we were chatting about my great grandmother, who we call Granny Goose, and she died when I was like 6 or 7. So I have like vague memories of her, but we were talking about her, and like during this conversation, somebody snapped a picture, and my mom has this picture framed because it's my mom and I together standing next to each other with a ring of fog around us, just like a perfect like ring of fog directly around us. And like when we saw it, like, on the camera, we both were just like, oh, it's Granny Goose. Like, it was just, like, an automatic thing. And she was also a very, like, woo-woo kind of person. So we were like, yeah, that's for sure her. So my mom has that picture, and that was, like, my first real encounter. And then the ongoing one is that my house that I'm currently in has a ghost. And the interesting thing about this is that, so I have my Granny Goose's ashes, they're like right there, and my partner, his mom passed a couple of years ago, so we have her ashes in the house as well. So we're not sure if it's like one of those or if it's someone that's lived here before, I don't know, but we have like the Ring cameras, right? And we have a motion detector in our hallway that is not a camera, it's just a motion detector. And it will just randomly send me a notification like motion in hallway, and we're like home, like clearly there's no motion in the hallway. And a couple times it's happened where one of my dogs will bark and then I get a notification saying that there's motion in the hallway, but no one's in the hallway. So that's my current ghost, but they seem chill, they haven't done anything besides like let us know that they're here. So
you should put a camera next to your motion detector.
I know. I've thought about it.
Maybe they're just pranking each other.
Oh, the ghosts?
Yeah.
Like,
the battle of the ghosts.
Yeah. Like maybe they're just like, you know, there's nothing to do.
Yeah. They're like, these children are living in sin. They are not married. We need to let them go. What's going on?
You should have a psychic medium come in and see if they can pick up on anything.
Or yeah, just put a Ouija board. I'm gonna get so much hate for saying that.
You need to be quiet.
I actually did another podcast a while ago, and the guy that I talked with offered. He was like, I will absolutely come by and see what's going on. Try whenever.
You should do it. You have to tell us what happens.
Yeah, we want an update for real.
I'll let you know if it happens.
That would be amazing.
My ghost encounters. So they've all been good. So I feel like the ghost beings are good things and they're just there to like protect you and be helpful. I don't know.
Yeah, mine just shows up every now and then, usually as a smell, and like most of the time it's fine, but sometimes I have to remind him that we don't allow cigarette smoke here.
Oh, interesting.
But he's very polite because as soon as I'm like, hey, we've talked about this, the smoke, it's like it disappears immediately.
Weird.
Well, and the other thing, the other way that mine usually comes around is the smell of men's cologne. And I can't tell you exactly what cologne it is, but it's like the most, like it makes me think of like 50s drugstore. And I don't have any reason to know what that means. But that's the only thing I can tell you that it smells like is like a cologne that men could have just like bought at the drugstore like in the 50s or 60s.
So your ghost is a grandpa.
Oh, I'm like 97% sure he's a grandpa.
That's sweet. Super sweet.
Wait, I feel like every time I'm like, there is no smoking, I feel like the reaction is like,
grumble, grumble, grumble.
Adair, I loved having you on. I still feel like I'm saying your name wrong.
No, you're good. It's just a weird name.
Okay. It's beautiful. I want you to plug your social media and your podcast and do that real quick before we do our outro.
Amazing. So yes, my name is Adair. My podcast is What's Wrong With Them, a true crime diagnostic podcast where I review famous serial killers, their potential and cult leaders and famous criminals generally, and talk about the psychology behind it, their possible diagnoses. I'm most active on Instagram, which is What's Wrong With Them Pod. We do have Twitter, WWWTPod, and TikTok, which I think is also WWWTPod, which is mostly just me being, like, dumb and sometimes psychology stuff. But I actually am, like, really addicted to TikTok now, so I'll be on there more.
We are, too. You're not alone.
Before we let her go completely, I have to know, you said cult leaders.
Yes.
Are you going to do an episode on Jared Leto?
Okay. Do you know how many people I have been like, Jared Leto has a cult? And I always have to pull up the picture. I absolutely will because I am like super like pop punk, alternative rock person. And his whole life story fascinates me. Mm-hmm. So I will absolutely do an episode on him because he is a wild individual. And then add the cult piece. Absolutely.
I cannot wait for that.
Me either. And every time when people are surprised, when I'm like, oh yeah, Jared Leto has a cult, they're like, oh, Jared Leto has a cult. I'm like, no. First of all, if you were going to follow a cult leader, would he not look like Jared Leto?
Exactly. I hope he would. You,
if I'm going to follow somebody in a cult like fashion, it's probably going to be Jared Leto.
Yes.
But like, who's surprised? I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised. But I've had a lot of people be like, what? So we got to get the message out there. Everybody, listen up.
Jared Leto has a cult. It's a whole cult. It's not a joke. When you find the picture online and you're like, no, he's in a movie playing Jesus. No, he's not. That's what he wears.
I'm going to put that in our show notes. I might name the episode Jared Leto has a cult.
Jared Leto has a cult. Slender Man.
Yeah, they will be very confused.
Like, what about Jared Leto?
You have to get all the way to the end. And then it's going to all come together for them.
Thank you for the continued support. Please find and follow us at Wild Book Pod on Instagram and Twitter. If you're looking for bonus content, early episode releases, and free merch, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/wildbookpodcast. And we actually have new merch, Susan.
I saw it and I am so excited. It looks so good.
It's higher quality. The designs are good and there's more options. There's not just like t-shirts and stickers. We have long sleeved tees, hoodies, like water bottles.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I saw mugs. Did I see mugs?
And there's like really nice glass pint glasses with our logo, which is really cool. I'm going to have to get one of those.
If you guys don't want to drink beer out of a glass with our logo on it, like, we love you more than you love us.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Also, if you have any weird or creepy stories, we're running out of listener stories and we desperately need them. So please send them to wildandwookpodcast@gmail.com so we can share them.
And remember, all stories start somewhere. Be wild, stay woke, and question everything.